It's 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Thursday, October 21st, 2021. I'm Derek Gilbert. You'll find all of our new video content at Rumble, rumble.com/SkywatchTV. But even better is our free mobile app. Extra free content and news the mainstream media wants you to miss. I'll tell you how to get that before the end of this program. Topic number 5 again today is the supply chain. As I told you yesterday, we called it Containergeddon. I wish I'd thought of that. We told you that last week, President Biden and Transportation Secretary Buttigieg held a press conference showing that the Port of Los Angeles and Port of Long Beach would now begin working 24/7 to clear the backlog of containers full of product from China that had been sitting off the coast of California. Well, the Port of Los Angeles executive director said Tuesday that 200,000 shipping containers now remain on ships off the coast. That's an improvement over the 500,000 that were on those ships just a couple of weeks ago. But they're no longer on the ships because they're apparently now sitting in residential neighborhoods of communities near the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. This taken in Wilmington, California. Transportation Secretary Buttigieg, who we're glad to see is back in the office after his 2 months paternity leave, says this is the result of pent-up demand overwhelming decades-old infrastructure. And so we should pass the $3.5 trillion spending plan because his department is ready to put that money to use. No, as we told you yesterday, thanks to research from the Last Refuge blog, the backlog is the fault of the state of California, which won't allow about half of America's tractor-trailer rigs inside its borders because they don't meet California's tougher emissions standards. Look, we're all about clean air here, but this supply chain disaster, I mean, people in Wilmington, California, not able to go to work because they've got shipping containers blocking their driveways, this is just an early taste of what the Green New Deal would mean for not just America, but the entire world. Topic number 4, mandates. As long as we're talking about counterproductive government policies, Seattle's police department has now moved to a Stage 3 operations plan. That's as of Wednesday. This means detectives and other non-patrol police units will be first responders to 911 calls. Residents are being warned that there may be increased delays in response times because Seattle police, they've said they can't afford to lose even one more officer at this point, or they simply won't be able to guarantee the safety of the residents of Seattle. Well, they just did. In fact, they lost more than 100 because they were out of office as of midnight Tuesday into Wednesday when the deadline for them to comply with the vaccine mandate put down by Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin went into effect. The Seattle Police Officers Guild argued that the emergency response times will suffer due to a sudden shortage of officers, and adding that the number of employees forced out of their jobs is larger than the official tally released by the city of St. Louis, or city of Seattle, rather. What's a greater threat to the public at this point, a disease that's 99.7% survivable, or not having police and firefighters and EMTs available to respond to 911 calls? I think you could ask the same question in Chicago, where about 4,500 Chicago police officers did not report vaccination status by the deadline, which was last Friday, which is about 35% of the uniformed officers in Chicago. They could be placed on no-pay leave in the foreseeable future. Just note that so far this year in Chicago, a person is shot on average every hour and 51 minutes. You can expect those times to drop with fewer officers on the streets. But Chicago police, if they decide to leave the force, will be welcome next door in Indiana. Indiana Senator Mike Braun said that departments in Indiana are hiring and be happy to welcome former Chicago police officers with the respect they deserve. Employees at Los Alamos National Lab, which includes some of the top nuclear engineers and scientists in the world, have literally taken to the streets outside the lab protesting the vaccine mandate there. The deadline to comply was last Friday. It's not clear if any of these engineers or scientists have been fired yet. Associated Press reporting that the bulk of those who face termination are not low-level staff members or recent hires, but in many cases, scientists and nuclear engineers who've been working at one of America's most sensitive and advanced defense facilities for decades. These are people with very particular skill sets. And some of these scientists, nuclear engineers, project managers, research technicians, and others have the highest security clearances in the nation for the work they do. Again, nuclear scientists and research engineers being pushed out of a job, their jobs, for not wanting to take an experimental gene serum that will somewhat protect them, perhaps, against a disease that's already 99.7% survivable. This is, frankly, nuts. Remember, we still have hundreds of thousands of soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen who have not yet complied with the vaccine mandate. No word yet from the Pentagon on how they plan to maintain force readiness if those soldiers refuse to comply. So far, according to the statistics, 67 active duty military personnel have died of COVID-19 since the beginning of the outbreak 18 months ago. In that same time frame, just for context, well over 400 have committed suicide. Topic number three, speaking of readiness, the loss of a U.S. Navy ship last July in port in San Diego due to a massive fire was, according to a new report, a completely avoidable catastrophe. This investigation report, obtained by Associated Press, was headed up by Vice Admiral Scott Kahn, found that one particular sailor was charged with arson for starting the blaze. The report says that the vessel could have been salvaged if not for the commander's and the crew's lack of basic training and skills. Talking about the USS Bonham Richard, which was a ship used to deploy Marines during amphibious landing assaults, kind of a light aircraft carrier, helicopters, Ospreys, vertical takeoff and landing craft like the F-35 and the Harrier. Normally, a crew of 1,100, it was in port for upgrades, 115 sailors on board. But investigators found that while the ship was fitted with a firefighting system that could have slowed the spread of the fire, no one on board was aware of how to put the system into operation, which involved pressing a button. Quoting from the report, I wish I was making this up, but quoting from the report, no one of the crew interviewed considered this action or had specific knowledge as to the location of the button or its function, end quote. They didn't know where the button was to activate the fire suppression system. Now, look, I have no military experience, but it seems to me that if you're on board a ship in the middle of the ocean, being able to fight a fire on board the vessel would be critical training. And yet none of the 115 sailors on board, according to this investigation, knew where the button was to initiate the fire suppression system. And even if they had, it's not clear that it would have worked. According to the report, about 87% of the fire stations on board had equipment issues or had never been inspected. But you can bet that the sailors were up to speed on their diversity training. Topic number two, the Pope and free speech. Pope Francis, over the weekend, invoked God in an effort to pressure tech giants, Silicon Valley, into censoring more content, including hate speech and conspiracy theories. The Pope made the remarks during the World Meeting of Popular Movements. This is an organization started by Pope Francis back in 2014. He said, and I quote, "In the name of God, I ask the technology giants to stop exploiting human weakness, people's vulnerability, for the sake of profits without caring about the spread of hate speech, grooming, fake news, conspiracy theories, and political manipulation." You understand what Pope Francis did here. The leader of the largest Christian denomination on planet Earth invoked God in the name of imploring giant, unaccountable technology corporations shutting down free speech. He went on in this address, specifying two measures to build back better. Now, he didn't use that phrase in English. He was speaking in Spanish, but that's a rough translation of the Spanish. Building back better, he called for a basic universal income and for governments to propose new fiscal and redistributive schemes. In other words, he's calling on governments of the world to implement universal basic socialism. Look, they tried that back during the kingdom of Nimrod. That's what he's calling for, is a return to Babel. And I'm not exaggerating. Coming up, the new horse dewormer. I'll tell you what it is next on 5 and 10. It was a common story that a warrior god had to defeat and subdue a chaos monster, a chaos dragon, who emerged from the primordial abyss or the sea. In the Bible, in fact, the sea, especially in the Old Testament, is often a representation of chaos, the domain of Leviathan, which was the Hebrew version of this chaos dragon. That entity was described as a seven-headed serpent.
Call now and take advantage of SkyWatch TV's most groundbreaking deal of the year. With the rediscovery of the ancient prophecies from a mysterious group of prophets and scribes hundreds of years before Christ, your understanding of end times prophecy and the final age of man is about to be forever changed. In Josh Peck's new book, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, the veil is lifted as you discover how much of what you've been taught about Israel in the first century is incomplete. Shockingly, there were Jewish believers who knew exactly what to expect from the coming Messiah, that he would be God in the flesh, would die for our sins, and even the date of his first arrival. In Josh Peck's new book, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, you will discover lost prophecies only recently discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls about the time we are now living in, how the enigmatic group known as the Essenes formed and what influence they had on the New Testament, what hidden feasts and festivals the Essenes celebrated, and what messages the group left behind for believers living in the present age, how the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation fit within the Essene timetable, and how an ancient Jewish calendar actually predicts the prophetic significance of the year 2025. But that's not all. For the first time ever, you'll also receive Dr. Ken Johnson's massive three-book collection entitled The Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes, where Dr. Johnson compiles three of his most groundbreaking research studies on the Dead Sea Scrolls into one massive collection. In Book 1, The Ancient Dead Sea Scrolls Calendar and the Prophecies It Reveals, you will discover the secrets of the mysterious 364-day calendar used by the ancients since the time of creation and how it has been hidden until now for the appointed time. In Book 2, Ancient Testimonies of the Patriarchs, Autobiographies from the Dead Sea Scrolls, you will hear the previously hidden prophetic texts of such patriarchs as Enos, grandson of Adam, Lamech, father of Noah, Amram, father of Moses and Aaron, and even Enoch from the Book of Enoch fame. And in the most shocking revelation yet, Book 3, The Ancient Order of Melchizedek, you will learn astonishing facts about the enigmatic priest Melchizedek, such as why his priesthood was and is different from that of Levi, why the Messiah was ordained after the order of Melchizedek, and how the facts surrounding this mysterious order dramatically affect the theology and practical applications of our Christian walk today. This collection is an absolute necessity for any researcher's library and for those who want to fully step into the minds of the ancients and see the Dead Sea Scrolls like they never have before. Now you can get this incredible collection for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So don't miss out on SkyWatch TV's most groundbreaking deal of the year, the Lost Prophecies and Ancient Mysteries Collection, available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Item number one today, horse paste, which might be a good invective to use against things like this. I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed this last week. You might remember last week I told you about new studies from George Washington University and the Israeli government, Israeli medical researchers, again, not right-wing anti-vax conspiracy theorist websites, respected medical institutions, found that people who were on a regimen of low-dose aspirin, baby aspirin, 81 milligrams, been recommended by doctors for literally decades for people who have a family history of heart issues or high cholesterol. It acts as a mild blood thinner, reduces the risk of heart attack and stroke with very, very minimal side effects reported over decades of use. Well, last week, we reported that a couple of different organizations found that people who were on a regimen of low-dose aspirin actually reduced their risk of serious complications from COVID-19 by almost half. Admissions to the intensive care unit, ventilation, risk of death dropped by more than 40%. In fact, the risk of catching COVID dropped by 29% in the group that was on low-dose aspirin. So it was almost predictable that a day later, we saw a new study that after decades of apparently safe use of low-dose aspirin for people with these high cholesterol, risk of heart attack conditions, suddenly A new study saying it's too risky to recommend anymore for people over the age of 60. It might cause a brain bleed, might cause a stroke, might cause internal bleeding. Really? I mean, if you'd gone the over-under on how long it would take for the medical establishment to debunk or denounce aspirin after it was shown that it was actually helpful in fighting COVID, you probably would have gone the over on that one. And anyway, I'm not the only one who spotted this, because now other sharp-eyed, smarter people are picking up on this and saying, you know, it's only a matter of time before people start pointing out, like the FDA, as they did with ivermectin, start saying, well, you know, they use aspirin for horses. Why are you taking horse medicine? If you don't realize by now that this is political as much as it is medical, and probably more so, you're really just not paying attention. Skywatch TV's Defender Conference Countdown is on. All 24 videos, more than 24 actually, video presentations, and the world premiere of the documentary The Great Delusion, exposing the UFO alien disclosure movement for what it is, a spiritual movement, available to you now through January 15th. Sign up for the conference. You get unlimited access to these videos for the better part of 3 months. Watch them in any order you like, as often as you like. Bring your friends over. Have a watch party. Sit down and watch this documentary. Josh Peck has done a masterful job of it, but some of the presentations are really cutting edge as well. Drew Graffia, our colleague here at Skywatch TV, has done a presentation on the parallels between Irish folklore, the little people, gnomes, leprechauns, fairies, sprites, the Green Man, and the biblical truth behind them. It needed to be done. Sharon and I have been talking about the, how do you pronounce it, Tuatha De Danann. Somebody needs to write about it. Drew has done it. He's got a book in this presentation. It's 2 hours long, but it is worth watching. Guy Malone on Bitcoin as the mark of the beast. Is it the mark of the beast? The answer might surprise you. Joe Jordan, co-founder and president of the CE4 Research Group, on the spiritual aspects of the so-called alien abduction phenomenon. And Tom Horn, The Second Coming of the Nephilim. Cutting-edge presentations, again, available in unlimited until January 15th. You can find out more and sign up online at defenderconference.com, defenderconference.com. Skywatch TV's Tour of Israel, the Wars of the Gods Tour, Search for the Travelers. That is the term used by the pagan Canaanites around ancient Israel for the demonic spirits of the Rephaim. Yeah, Moses did not invent the Rephaim to demonize his neighbors, pardon the pun. The Canaanites knew who they were. They believed that those were the kings of old, the mighty men, the men of renown, as they're described in Genesis chapter 6. They worshipped them. And Ezekiel foresaw their role in the war of Gog and Magog. We'll talk about that during this tour as we take you from north to south across Israel. We'll show you the Valley of the Travelers, prophesied by Ezekiel in Ezekiel 39, along with our colleagues from Skywatch TV, Ali Henson, Donna Howell, and our good friend Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat, who will join us from Tel Aviv. We'll see all the sites you want to see: Jerusalem, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River. Worship in the Jordan River. If you've not been baptized, what better place? And Masada, a very important place in Israel's history as well. Don't miss this. You can find out more online. Reserve your place. And just as a reminder, if we need to reschedule the tour because of tour restrictions, vaccine mandates, or what have you, things that you cannot accommodate the new dates or the travel requirements, you will not lose your deposit. That is a promise from Aaron Lipkin. He is a man of honor. Find out more online. Skywatchinisrael.com. Skywatchinisrael.com. This week on Skywatch TV, we talk about the three brand new programs produced by us here at Skywatch TV. We are constantly editing video. The new programs, Simply His, a women's show like no other, featuring Catherine Horn, Nita Horn, Ali Henson, and Donna Howell. Cherise Parton's new program on health, Return to Eden, and the Bible's Greatest Mysteries. This week, we're in the middle of a four-week series of interviews with Timothy Alberino about his book, Birthright. Don't miss it. You can find out about these programs on this week's edition of Skywatch TV. Our over-the-air broadcast schedule is online at skywatchtv.com/channels, but you can find you basically design your own schedule whenever it's convenient for you, because all of these programs now are available on the Skywatch TV apps for Roku and Apple TV, as well as our free mobile app. And the advantage with the mobile app is that you also get news the mainstream media wants you to miss and free excerpts from books from Defender Publishing. Tom Horn has just posted part 48, lifted directly from Zeitgeist 2025, his blockbuster new book, coming right to your smartphone or tablet. Free. The app is free, and if it works on iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets, if you've got a modern smart TV, relatively new within the last 2 or 3 years, if it's compatible with Google's Chromecast or Apple's AirPlay, you can take the videos from the mobile app and just cast it right to your television. No cords required. And again, bypassing the gatekeepers of big tech. Yeah, don't let the Pope get between you and SkyWatch TV. You can find out more online, skywatchtv.com. The link for the mobile app is in the top menu bar. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.